wonder if God would make a way for me to overcome this embarrassment that I just brought on myself. Melody faked me off there. Sorry about that. Great job. Great job. We appreciate it very much. All right. Well, let's go ahead and take our Bibles and go to 1 Samuel 31. 1 Samuel 31, we're going to look at verses 1 through 13, which will finish out, will actually be the whole chapter, and we'll finish out the book of 1 Samuel. As you know, this is our fifth and final lesson in our five-part series, Lessons Learned from the Life of David. 1 Samuel 31, verse 1 through 13. Verse 1. So the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. Then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons. And the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, Malchishua, Saul's sons. Now the battle became intense against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was severely wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell on it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died with him. So Saul, his three sons, his armor bearer, and all his men died together that same day. And when the men of Israel who were on the other side of the valley and those who were on the other side of the Jordan saw that the men of Israel had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. So it came to pass the next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. They cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent word throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim it in the temple of their idols and among the people. Then they put his armor in the temple of the Ashtoreth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bashan. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and traveled all night and took the body of Saul and the body of his sons from the wall of Bashan, and they came to Jabesh and burned them there. Then they took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh, and fasted 7 days. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this time together as we open your word. I pray that we'll open our hearts once again, be receptive to your word. Give me the words to say, speak through me. I pray that I will decrease and you will increase. Forgive me my sins and cleanse me and use me for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a man in Indiana that had the following words put on his tombstone. Quote, "Remember, friend, as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. Prepare for death and follow me." Somebody in the cemetery walked by, saw those words on the tombstone, and they responded. They wrote a response in chalk on the tombstone. It said this: "To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went." There was a Christian man in Alabama by the name of Solomon Pease. He had this put on his tombstone. Solomon Pease on his tombstone said this: "Here lies Solomon Pease. Pease is not here, only the pod. Pease was shelled out and went home to God." Y'all laughed at me more than you laughed at those jokes there. This is the last lesson in our series from the book of 1 Samuel. The previous lessons, of course, were mainly focused on the life and example of David. But here in this last chapter, we can learn some lessons from the life and from the death of King Saul. Death can be an uncomfortable subject to talk about. May not be a subject they would preach on that often. It is a very solemn and serious subject, and I'm not trying to be funny or make a play on words when I say that death is a part of life. I know that all of us here tonight have experienced the loss of a loved one, a friend, or family member. It's inevitable that we all are going to die unless we're alive when the rapture takes place and Jesus takes us home. But just like any other subject, we can go to God's Word and find lessons about death. Here in 1 Samuel 31, in this story about King Saul, in this final chapter and how he died, there are some things that we can learn and apply to our own lives. Here in this chapter. So tonight's lesson, our final lesson from lessons learned from the life of David, is on the death of a king. The death of a king. Three things we notice here in this passage. First of all, let's talk about the tragedy of Saul's death. The tragedy of Saul's death. Look at verse 3 and 4. Now the battle became intense against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was severely wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell on it. We see here in this story, at this point in 1 Samuel, King Saul and the Israelite army are engaged in battle with the Philistine army. The Philistines were winning the battle. They were overtaking the Israelite army, and Saul and his men were forced to retreat. The Philistine army charged after King Saul and the Israelite army, and we read here where the Philistines killed Saul's three sons, and then Saul himself was hit by the Philistine arrows. He becomes wounded. Saul realizes that he can't escape and live, and so he calls on his armor bearer to take his life, and the armor bearer refuses. King Saul then ends his own life by falling on his own sword. We see here afterward, the Philistines took Saul's body, King Saul, and beheaded King Saul, and his body is nailed to the city walls to be put on display. King Saul's death was both very sad and shameful. And the reason I say that is if you go back in the book of 1 Samuel, about 40 years, you see where Saul was chosen by God to be king over Israel. And the Bible says that Saul, when he became king, was a humble, brave, obedient man of God. But little by little, Saul allowed compromise and complacency into his life, and his life became a life of wickedness and weakness. The tragedy of Saul's death, it didn't have to happen the way it did. God had a better plan for Saul. God had a better way for Saul to finish his life, but Saul failed to live within God's plan, and he paid a terrible price for it. Hold your place here, if you would, in 1 Samuel 31, and let's go back a few chapters to 1 Samuel 13. Turn with me back to 1 Samuel 13. I want us to see an incident here in Saul's life after he becomes king. 1 Samuel 13, verse 8 through 14. Notice what happens here. Verse 8, then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Samuel, the priest, had given Saul specific instructions on how and when to make a sacrifice to God. But it says here that Samuel has not come yet. They had waited the 7 days, verse 9, and Saul said, "Bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me." And he offered the burnt offering. He was supposed to wait on Samuel. But he went ahead and did it on his own. He violated the command of God. Verse 10, now it happened as soon as he finished offering the burnt offering that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you did not come within the days appointed and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. Notice this, verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. This was Saul's downfall. You might say that this incident here is the beginning of the end. This was an act of disobedience. This was a failure on King Saul's part to follow God's command. But it wasn't just this one time or this one sin that brought about Saul's death and demise and his loss of the kingdom. After this incident, Saul continued to show a disregard for being obedient to God. He continued to allow himself to compromise the word of God. His life can be summarized according by the title of the Frank Sinatra song, I Did It My Way. Saul began to fail to do God's will, God's way, and he did things Saul's way. And that's what God calls rebellion. Let me read to you a quote here from a Bible commentary about this path that Saul took, his rebellion and his ultimate death. A quote from a Bible commentary said this, Saul was rejected from being king over God's people, forsaken by God and therefore destroyed in battle because God's protecting hand was withdrawn. My friends, God had a better plan for King Saul. Now please understand this. Let me make this point that I am not saying that every accident, every illness, and every death is a result of sin in a person's life. That is not the point that I'm making. Here in Saul's life, he started out as God's chosen, anointed king, and his sin and disobedience took him on a downward spiral in his life and resulted in an untimely death. The takeaway for us tonight is, in this story, is that you and I as believers must finish well. We must finish well. King Saul didn't finish well. Amen? Am I right? He did not finish well. He began to do things his way. As believers, we need to remember that we need to finish well. We need to stay faithful and stay focused until our appointed time of death. Saul did not finish well, but we remember in contrast the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4:7. You remember those words? He said this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That word faith there in that one verse means the standards and the commands of the revealed word of God. Paul was faithful to the word of God throughout his entire life, to the very end. Paul finished well, and we see a difference, a contrast in King Saul's life. I read about the police department in El Paso, Texas. They started a new policy and program there in their police department. They started pulling over drivers for obeying the traffic laws. Pulled over drivers for good driving and obeying the traffic laws. Instead of issuing traffic citations, they gave out gift cards to good drivers. It was a new program called Operation Caught in the Act. Listen to me, guys. God will bless and honor and reward those who stay faithful to Him. God will bless and honor those who live life His way according to His word. Listen to this. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him." I love that verse. Somebody say amen. Isn't that good? God is looking for somebody to bless that will stay faithful to Him, and He will bless them and honor them and show Himself strong. He'll move those mountains in your life if we are loyal to Him. Let's stay faithful and obedient to the end. Let's make sure that you and I finish well. God will bless us with His best, and we can say we finished well. So we see here, number one, looking at chapter 31 and the end of Saul's life, we see the tragedy of Saul's death. Number two, notice the testimony of Saul's death. The testimony of Saul's death. Look at verse 6. "So Saul, his three sons, his armor bearer, and all his men died that same day." The U.S. Census Bureau says that one person dies every 12 seconds in the United States. And here in this story, we are reminded that death comes to all of us. On this battlefield, we see the king and the slave. In this battle, we see the weak and the powerful. Engaged in battle here, we see the Israelites and the Philistines, and they all encounter death. Death does not play favorites. Unless Jesus comes and the rapture takes place, we're not getting out of here alive. Death comes to every one of us. Hebrews 9:7 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment of God." But here's the thing, here's the good news, here's the exciting part. As believers, we do not have to worry about death. For the Christian, death is not a tragedy, it's victory. It's not the end, it's the beginning. It's the beginning of eternity in heaven with our Lord and Savior. It's the end of sickness and suffering. It's the end of worry and weariness. Death is the doorway to heaven. It is the threshold that we walk through when we take our last breath and step into eternity. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." He said in another passage, he said, "I struggle. Part of me wants to stay here. The other part of me wants to go to heaven. I'm stuck in between." But he says, "I know that heaven is far, far better." In this life, we must live faithfully, and God will bless us, but let's live in light of the life to come. I thought I would share a story with you for this second point. The last church I was at, I was there for 11 years, and this story goes back a ways. It goes back to the early days that I was there. I hadn't been there long, and a lady in the church told me that they had a friend in the intensive care unit at the hospital. And I want to just share this with you. This event had a profound effect on me, and I don't share this story to brag or point toward me, but to make a point here. The lady said, "I got a friend in the ICU at the hospital. I'd like for you to go see him. He doesn't have a church. To the best of my knowledge, he's not a Christian." So I said, "Okay, I'll do that." And I was working at the time, and after I got off, I went by the hospital, looked this man up. He was in intensive care, went into his room. I could see the fear on his face when I walked in. Didn't know him, never seen him. He didn't know me. But the man laying in the bed in the intensive care unit, I could see the fear. I introduced myself and began to talk with him and get to know him a little bit. In that conversation, the man said, "I'm afraid to die." Man, Lord, what do I do? What do I say? And the verse came to mind, and I shared with him this verse. Jesus said, "He that believes in me, he shall never die." I shared that verse with him and continued to talk to him and share scripture with him. And he prayed to receive Jesus into his heart as his personal Savior. And right then and there, give God the glory, I could see the countenance on his face change. He was a different person. My friends, listen to me tonight. The finished work of Jesus Christ has removed the chains of death from every one of us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, "O death, where is thy sting?" The stinger has been taken out because of the finished work of Jesus Christ and because of your faith in him. Death is not to be worried about. Death is not something to be afraid of. As I said a minute ago, death is simply the threshold that we step over into the presence of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Whew! Somebody ought to shout. That's good. So we see here, moving on, we see the tragedy of Saul's death. We see the testimony of Saul's death. And lastly, we see the teaching of Saul's death. Let's look at verse 7 through 10. "And when the men of Israel who were on the other side of the valley and those who were on the other side of the Jordan saw that the men of Israel had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled. And the Philistines came and dwelt in them. So it came to pass the next day when the Philistines came to strip the slain that they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. Cut off his head, stripped his armor, and sent word throughout the land of Philistines to proclaim it in the temple of the idols and among the people. They put his armor in the temple of the Asherahs, and they fastened the body to the wall of Bethshan." There are some things common here in the death of King Saul and the death of Jesus. When Saul was killed, the men of Israel ran away in fear. Many people in Israel had looked at Saul as the hope of the nation, as the hope of all of Israel, and now they view that all hope is gone. The followers of Jesus thought that all hope was gone when they saw Jesus hanging on a cross. They also ran away in fear. They hung King Saul's body on a wall of a city. They hung Jesus' body on an old rugged cross. When Jesus died, it looked like Satan had won. Satan and his demons rejoiced. It looked as if life had been defeated by death. I'm glad that looks are deceiving, aren't you? 3 days later, after Jesus died on the cross, death gave way to victory. Jesus was raised from the dead. He gives us victory today over sin, death, hell, and the grave. A much different death than Saul. There's a cemetery in an old Methodist church in Burke County, North Carolina. It started in the 1700s. Some of the tombstones there in this cemetery have hands that are engraved with index fingers pointing toward heaven. Two of those tombstones in that same cemetery have hands with chains bound around the wrist and fingers pointing down. Let's live life in victory. Let's be conscious of the fact that God has given us victory over death. God has given us victory over death, sin, hell, the grave, as I said. Let's stay faithful. because of the finished work of Jesus, because of the victory that God gives us, let's make sure we finish well. God has a plan for every one of you in here tonight. He wants to move mountains in your life. He wants to do great things in your life. He wants to do great things in the life of the church. We got to stay faithful and make sure we finish well. Got to honor that. God will bless that. God will reward that. Let's stay faithful. God will bless our faithfulness and honor our faithfulness until death opens the door to the presence of Jesus. Let's pray together.